Fantasy
for Dummies.
Hold up. This is the part where we are going to tell you that there are spoilers, cursing, potentially triggering situations, and spiciness of all levels. Don't say you weren't warned. All right, carry on.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Fantasy for Dummies, Season 1, Episode 3. We are doing Iron Flame. I'm Brianna, the younger sister.
I'm Eileen, the fairy-loving, almost 40-year-old.
And we're splitting up Iron Flame, right? It's just a little long.
Well, it's not that it's long. It's that I think you have to be more... There's a lot of information in it that is valuable. Details that come back around.
These are... Yeah.
We can actually do the whole book very quickly if you wanted. Like, in it could be our shortest summary yet. The brain-melting argument for this entire book.
I'm not going to disagree that it's not, frustrating, but as we've established in our last episode, the ensemble characters are great, and they shine through in this one. We see a lot of Rhiannon.
Yeah, but she's just shitting on Rhiannon the whole time, too.
Please, tell me again.
I have a complicated relationship with these books. It's a complicated relationship. That's all.
I know you do.
That's all. Feel a little on the younger side for me.
Did you know that Rebecca Yarros, the author of these books, actually has a bunch of romance novels that are not fantasy?
No, I did not. Well,
her whole catalog is like, it's kind of all over the place.
I had asked in one of our group chats, because someone referred to her writing style, that she liked to kill off main characters. And I was like, wait, she has other books besides Iron Flame? And does she kill a lot of... Have you read
any of them? I've never read any of them. These are the only ones I've read so far. But yeah, she's got like a whole library of... She's like a well-published author.
I'm sure.
This one became like a booktop phenomenon.
Okay. Maybe I'll investigate some of those. Just for funsies.
Just for funsies.
Yeah. A nice light romance.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know anything about them, but they were cataloged
as
romance.
Let's find out for fun and let's
see. I like this little side quest for you.
Yeah. Well, are you reading anything else right now, or are you still reading?
I'm still in the second ACOTAR book.
Okay.
Between that and this, my time. I didn't even get to reread Iron Flame yet, so I'm happy we're doing this.
Yeah. After we do this, you'll reread it again?
Probably. I have really bad comprehension. I learned a lot the second read through of Fourth Wing.
I probably should. Well, yeah.
There were a lot of things I picked up. I even like.
You made notes.
I made
you.
Notes. I didn't like write in it, but I did like put tabs down so that way I could refer back specifically for this podcast.
When people put tabs in books, what do they go back for?
Well, I used a tab and I ended up losing it when I went back about Jack Barlow using his powers.
But if we weren't, like, there's people who don't make a podcast about books and they put tabs in them. I see it a lot.
I see it a lot.
Never
as
been
well.
One to do that.
Maybe it's so that way, like, if they're talking with people about they're in a book club.
Or if you just want to have an actual discussion about it that isn't rambling like me with
opinions and riffing.
My memory.
Mm-hmm.
Of the,
which is the frightening part.
I think it's interesting on a Kindle when it'll have like a underlined passage and it'll tell you how many people highlighted that passage. And it's usually like some very like romantic-y, tropey declaration of love or something. And I'm just like, are you going to use it like on like a dating app? Like, what are you going to do? Like, it's interesting to me because sometimes it'll be like 12,000 people have highlighted this sentence. I wonder, because the only thing I highlight is accidentally, like if I'm holding the page or if I'm doing something else while I'm reading. So I wonder statistically what I'm doing to that algorithm when I randomly highlight 4 words.
Some random Kindle reader is reading the book and is rereading the 4 words you highlighted and was like, why is this high? What is special about this moment?
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, Yeah, I was spilling my coffee and I dropped my Kindle and then I picked it up in a way in which I don't know how to unhighlight. I have no idea how to unhighlight. How many people have to highlight before it gets the underline for everyone else to see? What's the highlight threshold?
I don't know. We should ask Jeff Bezos.
I would assume that's not on his radar. But what do I know? I don't know the man. Fair enough. I've never met him.
I have other books I have to read. Like the next one on my list is this Kevin Hearn book called Hounded. It's about like ancient druids.
But book is the series about the same characters? How do you pick a series and not know?
This is book club book at work.
Oh.
We meet in the basement.
So you really do have to read it. When you said have to, I was confused. Where is the book club? It's in the basement of a Broadway theater? I just want to circle back to that.
Yes, it's in the basement of the theater.
Now, is it all different Broadway shows or is it just yours?
No, it's just mine. It's not like Broadway Bowling.
Oh, wow. Silly me. How many people are in it?
Depends. It depends on every week, like if people are out or not, but it's a lot of our crew. There's like a consistent 5 of us and then like some musicians come in, actors come in.
I'm about to slam the table again, but I'm going to play with this roller instead. You've never mentioned a Broadway book club a day in your life before.
It's not a Broadway book club. It's a book club at my Broadway show. It's just people I work with.
You've never brought this up. How long has this been going on? Say more than a month and I'm going to jump out the window. 2 years? Go ahead.
No. We've only been open 9 months, so let's relax on that.
Sure.
I've read 2 books, so 2 months I've been part of this book club. No, I definitely told you about this book club because I gave you the book and then I asked for it back.
But you didn't tell me why. You just think you were lending it to someone at work.
I didn't think you'd care about my book club at work. I didn't think you'd care about it. I definitely told.
Choose your words wisely because you never mentioned your little Broadway book club.
Broadway book club is not a thing. It's not like people from Hamilton are coming to my theater and reading the same book as us. That sounds like a really great idea.
My point is that it's odd that it's never come up. You've read 2 different books we haven't talked about, that you've read them and discussed them in the basement of a Broadway theater right there alone. That's a talking point. See, funny things happen in that basement. I guarantee you, funny things happen in that basement.
I forget that what I do is super specific because I'm only ever surrounded by people that do that very specific thing. For those listening now, if this all doesn't get cut out, I work on a Broadway show. I'm the hair and makeup department head. So I deal with all the wigs, all the makeup, all the hair. To be fair, I work 6 days a week and all the people I work with also do the same thing. So to us, it doesn't seem that interesting.
To us, it sounds like a cult. The point that I'm making here is that if I was in any type of book club, you would know about it.
I feel like...
If I was in a work book club, really if I was in a dog owner book club, if I was in an Instagram book club, if I was in any type of club, you would know.
Also, the problem with part of my ADHD is I start sentences in my head and then I finish them out loud. It's in between work. It's on my lunch break.
That's neither here nor there.
You didn't say what you were reading.
I read City of Gods and Monsters, which is part of a 3 or 4 book series. I read the first one. I got through like half of the second one and I have to take a break.
Yeah, you said you weren't really jiving with it, so you were going to walk away from it.
Well, yeah, so I took a break. I'm not going to DNF it. I'm just going to take a break. It has very good reviews. And what bothered me is someone, a respected Instagram account that I follow, that whose opinion I hold highly and cherish, said that it was like the good version of Crescent City. And I really liked it. I find it to be an entertaining enough book. Get it. Maybe we'll cover it because it feels like it was written by a man, which I don't know how like else to explain it. It feels like it was written by a man.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but it has a really good male main character. But then, so from the break of City and Gods and Monsters book 2, which name I don't know, obviously, I read Book of Azrael, which is part of a series. Stay with me. That series is titled Gods and Monsters. I read the first one of that, and I'm almost done with the second one.
Nice.
And there's a third one that I'll have to read today. Between today and tomorrow. But by the weekend, I want to finish both of those. Miss Rose sent me a very pointed text yesterday about Crescent City.
She said she would start being disrespectful if you didn't follow through. So.
I don't even want to know what that looks like. I actually bought a physical copy of it.
Oh, wow.
I was in Target and I felt inspired.
Okay, love that for you.
It was right there. You know, they always have the 20% off.
And I love that for you.
I went for it. I am obsessed with those people on like Etsy that decorate the books and paint the pages, yes, and rebind the books. Oh my God. The second this podcast starts bringing in some disposable income, mm-hmm, I'm going to support all those Etsy creators.
We love that. All right. Ready to start Iron Flame Part 1?
Iron Flame Part 1. Yeah, we broke it up because the book is broken up Part 1, Part 2.
Yes.
So I just evenly broke it with Part 2. Because it was, even when I was doing it, I'm like, this is going to be the longest thing we've ever done. Although,
we got the fourth main one under 2 hours.
I know, but that's a big jump because the first episode was only an hour. To go from an hour to two.
Yeah, but it was our first one. I'm hoping. We've got 11 subscribers.
We cannot disappoint any of them. We cannot
disappoint.
Well, one of them is me, so.
One of them is me.
All right, so we have 9 people that we we can't let down.
Probably one's Rose. Probably one's Alexander. Probably no them all.
I'll never let Rose down.
Never, ever.
I'll try my best anyway.
Let's get into this. Part 1.
Iron Flame Part 1.
We left off. We Violet, Zayden, and Zayden's crew.
Right. They're at Zayden's secret house.
Secret house.
With her secret dead brother.
With her secret dead brother.
Who's 0% dead.
We end with Brennan walking in being like, welcome to the revolution.
Right. And that's pretty much where it picks right back up.
Great.
I don't know. You know, maybe she was out for a couple days. I'm not entirely sure. But we wake up and they're having like a super awkward breakfast in which no one's addressing the fact that this dead person is back to life. And it's like, oh, hold on. We got to go to this secret revolution meeting. So off they go. Zayden and Brennan and whoever else is going to this revolution meeting. And Violet's like, I'm not going to stay here eating eggs by myself. Like, I'm going to go listen to this.
I'm not super secret, well balanced breakfast. No, without my companions.
Right, I'm gonna go listen to this super super secret revolution meeting.
Well, duh.
And she does.
Duh.
She's creeping outside the open door, and
super secret meeting with a wide open door.
Correct. And they talk a lot about how they don't trust her. No one in the revolution really likes Violet, except for her formerly dead brother, and her almost boyfriend Hot Zayden.
Shadow Daddy Zayden.
Shadow Daddy Zayden. And I think the line is something along the lines of, like, she's mine to handle. And, you know, yeah, we get it. We get it. We see the it. Foreshadowing. We get it. So, no one really likes her. They're apprehensive about her because she's General Sorengale's daughter. But the awkward elephant in the room is that Brennan is General Sorengale's son. So,
he did fake his own death, though. So, I guess maybe that's a little... Maybe that's the initiative they need to see from Violet.
Yeah, okay, maybe. You're not wrong there. And after that, they realize, Zayden's like, I hear you all outside, because I think there's people outside. I think it's
Bodai and,
like, I was going to say, some of his other, you know, buddies are out there. Yeah, there's a little group eavesdropping, and he's like, the door's open, come on in. And after that, she finally gets to talk to her formerly dead brother, Brennan. Just to recap, for 6 years, she's thought he was dead.
Uh-huh.
He's not. We also find out that Mira clearly has no idea that he's alive. And he thinks that the Venon are coming for them in about 6 months. And he thinks they're going to attack the school. And how do you say the town? Or the country? I'm a little confused by the borders. Navarre. Yeah, they're coming for Navarre because they're going to steal the dragon energy from the dragon den.
Yes, the sacred hatching grounds. Correct. Of the dragon.
Yes.
One of the reasons, fun fact, why the dragons even allow riders to ride them is because they all want to band together and fight to protect that land.
Right, the sacred dragon land. We also find out here that any literature about the wyverns and the Venon has been totally wiped by the scribes.
Yes.
They think that the wards are infallible, that the military, essentially, and the, you know, the higher-ups think that these wards are infallible, but the southern coast doesn't even have any wards, because apparently it's too high for the griffins. That's what
the griffins are. Yeah,
so they never even put any wards. So this whole plan is just kind of a little wacky to me, especially because all of these military generals and all of the government knows that these Venon are out here attacking. So, a little bizarre, but it's not my business. And they also learn from this conversation, that where they are, the town area where they are, has a wardstone as well, but it's dead.
It's inactive.
Yeah.
And it's a paperweight. It has no power to it. No one really knows how to give power to it. No one understands how they were created, how, because we know nothing.
That was in the history before the scribes rewrote it. So it was lost. Right. The history of this wardstone and how they were created has been lost.
And Violet is like, don't worry, guys. Just get me back into those archives and I can
figure this out.
Well,
because isn't it also in, like, some language that's, like, dead that she only knows because her dad taught it to her?
Yes, probably. I just know it felt real ambitious.
Yeah.
Yeah, she felt confident she could do it. And there's some talk about should they go back to school or should they not. And I would just want to stay in Hot Zayden's super cool secret house. I mean, the house seems pretty badass. And
yeah. But they can't really do much there.
I know, but I would just wait it out in this super hot guy's secret house mansion. But that's okay.
Noted. Don't have Eileen on your...
It would take...
On your rebellion team. You yeah. ever want to get anything done.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. I don't feel too revolutionary. So then they take a little vote because a lot of people don't want them to go. There was some vote in that super secret meeting too. Some talk, not a vote, of what they were going to do with these kids that have landed at essentially this secret headquarters for this movement. Now, there's a bit of a back and forth because Brennan does not want them to go back. He was like, you're all going to get killed. Violet and Zayden think that they have to go back because if they don't show up, they're going to kill all the marked kids that are there as punishment.
Right.
So they win the vote and off they go. Zayden's like, I have kind of a plan. Like, just stick with me. Violet thinks that her mom does not know what Dane's dad did and therefore will not let them be punished or executed, which is kind of a gamble in my humble opinion.
Because she does know about the Venon and right. the Wyvern. So it is a gamble to know what she actually knows and what she doesn't know.
Right, right. And she has some more questions kind of about what's going on, and they give her the line of like, you know, Dane might be able to break into your mind, so just calm down with the 101 questions. And she accepts it for the most part at the beginning. The other important part before they leave to go back to school is that Andarna is huge now. When they have this little dragon meeting to decide if they're going back to school or not, she's doubled in size. And Taryn is all pissed off because she's a teenager. And she wakes up and she's walking like a drunk baby, and they have to get her back to the secret dragon land so she could take her real long puberty nap. It's dreamless sleep. Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they make it back to school. They drop Andarna off for the dreamless sleep.
She's and also, just to say, she's a teenager, so she's a raging bitch.
She's saucy. And she's feisty.
The best, because Taryn's also just...
Grumpy dad.
He's a grumpy dad, and like... The dynamic is really great. Okay. All of those interactions are great.
Yeah, they are. They are. They are. Once we land, we find out that Violet is super duper pissed at Zayden for keeping all these secrets from her.
Right.
About the revolution, about yes. her dead brother.
Yes.
And while I can understand her slight frustration, I think we need to take into account that this man has 107 kids he's responsible for, and he's trying to save the world.
Right.
I feel as though his character up until this point, right? Like, actions speak louder than words.
Yes.
And we should possibly give him some grace.
His actions have been impeccable.
We maybe...
Aside from the keeping that from her, but again, I think he was right. I'm on Zayden's team on this one. As I think most people are. Zayden's
team for life.
Yeah.
And she's real insufferable about it, as we are going to see for the next 17,000 pages that it feels like this book is for their fighting.
I think that's a pretty good blanket statement, so it's kind of like...
I'll just say it once. I think it's
like a blanket statement. She's pretty insufferable about this. Trust is a big issue for her.
Shh. Yes.
Granted, trust should be a big issue for her because, you know, like, she's got a dead brother that's not dead, and her mom knows about all these awful things that have been happening, and...
She gives him an ultimatum, though. And it's like, if you're not going to be fully honest with me, 100% transparency,
then we're
not together. And it's like, Violet, girl, A, did you think that that was going to work? And B, what the F are you doing?
Correct.
What are you really thinking?
Dumb.
Yeah, real dumb move, in my opinion. They then run before, because now it's graduation day is what's happening here. So they're trying to get everything that they have to do done before they're going to run in and see if their master plan works. So they try to get to Liam's room to get all of his stuff because they don't want it to go into the burn pit. And as they're going in, they're trying to save some of his belongings, and they run into her besties, Riddick and Rhiannon. And she gives Rhiannon a list of letters, because Liam had been writing his sister letters, I think one a week. So we've got 52 letters that he's going to send, because we're not allowed to talk to people for a year. And she's like, here, Rhiannon, with no explanation whatsoever about where we've been or what we've been doing or any of the sketchy shit going on, can you take these and hide them, even though it's really risky? And without hesitation, she's like, yeah, of course. She has to kind of convince Zayden that they can be trusted, and that's what they do. They hide the letters, and off they go to graduation. They walk in, and it's a funny moment where they're just reading off, you know, the lovely death list. Like, your school didn't have one of those every morning, a little death list of who didn't make it through the day before.
Right after the Pledge of Allegiance.
Correct. Right after their little death roll. And Garrick and Zayden's name get called out on the death roll, and then they walk into the room, and it's this moment where everyone looks at them, because there they are in the flesh. And Dane's dad is really pissed. yeah. He's
pissed.
And his disproportionate fury to surprise probably should have been
a red flag for everyone in the room. A huge
indication for everyone in the room. And Zayden kind of walks in, lays out half a lie that they were attacked, but he says that they were attacked by griffins. Now, this is to feel it out and catch the reaction. Who knows what? Who, you know, because we know that Dane's dad knows what happened here. Right. Yeah. And he accuses him, you sent us to war, but the half lie is there of what the actual war was. We do see right away Violet's mom is real confused and super angry. And she takes Dane's dad to dress him down in private. Mm-hmm. It's obvious that Violet, her gut was right, and that her mom was not in on this plan to get them all killed. Yeah. Right. And as, you know, General Sorengale is pulling Dane's dad away, he turns back and he's like, we all know that it wasn't griffins that attacked you. So it already was clear, but he confirms right then and there. And then he also gives the quote that secrets die with the people who keep them. And that comes up again later, but those are direct words from Dane's dad. And we're just supposed to move on to graduation after that. Nothing to see here.
Right. Because because then the expectation is that they all were able to survive this, except for Liam and
Soleil,
who also died. So they kind of let everyone know that these two didn't make it.
But in typical fashion of this insane school, it's like, we got to march for graduation. Correct. And everyone moves on. Without even, there's not enough questions asked here, in my opinion, but that's okay. Dane breaks away from his, you know, formation and runs to her like, oh my God, you're alive. And what does he immediately try to do?
Touch her.
And what does she immediately say? And actually the quote is, I'll cut your fucking hands off. And yes. I'm like, there's, okay, girl. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the energy I need from you.
Yes.
And we have a moment where, you know, we get a real don't put your hands on my woman moment from Zayden.
Yeah.
And it's real hot. And Zayden graduates. And after graduation, they all have kind of a party. You know, there's like a celebration and everyone's talking about like, oh, we'll get to write to our families. We'll get to, you know, go out of school grounds. And they're talking about all these privileges. And Violet's kind of just sitting there like, the world's about to end.
Right.
There's just a stark difference with her and the people who know the truth of what's going on versus the people who are blissfully unaware of all this stuff. And as Zayden is getting ready to head out, because, you know, now he right away leaves school, he graduates, and now he's on active military duty somewhere. Right. So he's being sent off to a military base, and off he goes to war. And she's real pouty about the secrets that he's keeping to save the planet.
The
punishment is disproportionate to the crime.
Yeah, and there's just like a level of, we're supposed to believe, and this is where it gets me, we're supposed to believe she's this logical, intelligent person whose like brain is her superpower, and she can't wrap her head around why.
It's very first boyfriend energy. She's giving very first boyfriend energy. She's giving middle school, high school freshman, first boyfriend energy.
It's like, if you're so smart and so logical and like, this is what you relied on, why is it so hard for you to wrap your head around? granted, you can be... I do think, like, finding out, like, a bit... Someone that you thought you love... That you say you love hides something from you. Tells a big old lie. Get it. I understand you being a little prickly about that. But once you see the grand scheme of the thing, of, like, why this was done, you gotta get over it.
Right.
Like, the initial anger or frustration, prickliness, I get. Like, fine. And I can respect that.
You can be mad at someone and not...
hate them. Or you know, give them this wild ultimatum.
It's the ultimatum that gets me.
It's the wild ultimatum. Because it's
like, girl, you are...
You have no... You don't get it. It just proves she doesn't get it. And it proves how, like you said, how juvenile she is.
And you are playing out of your league, Violet.
I mean, Zayden... Shadow Daddy Zayden is, like, so out of your league.
You're playing out of your league, like, and you're making the demands. It's just comical. It's, yeah. It's absolute comedy.
Yeah, yeah. This part does... This part is wild to me.
So then we meet Varish, who is, I don't know, he has a title. He's basically the principal of the school. He's left, like, we're going to call him the principal.
Principal or like the dean.
The dean of the school. Dean of students. He's new and he's in charge, and him and Dane's shitty dad let them know, here's how this is going to work. Because remember, up until this point, we don't know how the dragons or the mated dragons are going to survive without each other. Zayden's going to go on assignment to his base. You are going to stay here at school. And every week, you each get 2 days, 48-hour leave, and you'll switch off. So one week, Zayden will get leave, and he'll come to school. And the next week, Violet will be granted 2 days off, and she'll fly out to wherever he is. He's getting, you know, as this is happening, Zayden's packing up to go. Dane's dad is once again like a real shit stain and tells them, you better keep the secret of what really happened on this mission or else. Like, he threatens the shit out of them as they're going. And Dane is now the wing leader. We're at that point where we find out Dane finally got his wish, the thing that he's been hard for the whole time, more so than Violet, and he's in charge. And Rhiannon is the squad leader.
Yes.
Which is a real nice come up for her.
Yes.
Love that narrative for her. Yes. She's great. And they're gonna be in, because now they're in their second year, Rhiannon and Violet, that whole crew, her little compadres, they are going to be in a survival course. That's what they call it.
Yes.
Which is a very polite way of putting a torture course. They're going to be kidnapped. They're going to be tortured. And they have to figure out how to withstand said torture, as well as have these little missions in the woods.
I was going to say, so it's two parts, right? It's the torture and the figuring out how to, like, survive torture, and then it's the part that's linked with the infantry. Land navigation.
We'll call it camping with dragons.
Camping with dragons. We love that. Yeah.
And, yes, so we have camping with dragons, and then we have someone's going to put a bag over your head that you're not going to know where they're coming, and they're going to torture you, which is just, like, I mean, it's their second year.
They only get three, though.
That feels like more of a thesis to me. But whatever.
They only get three.
Correct. So,
they suck at it. They need to figure out how to navigate that.
Okay, yeah. All right, so we find out all this. This is basically what's up and coming for them for the school year. And now it's conscription day. And a lot kind of goes on here that I like. We meet Cam, formerly known as Cam, who is, I'm going to go with Eric. Or Eric.
I say
Hear
Eric.
Hear me out. Me too, because it's the double A, like Aaron.
Yeah.
So Eric.
Yeah. So I Googled a bunch of things this morning, or I tried to, because I was trying to get Rebecca Yaros to...
On the pod?
Yeah, definitely that. Yeah. No, I was trying to get her what she was thinking as she was writing it.
Sure.
And... it was wild, because I got a couple of them, and I was like, whoa. But apparently, a lot of these names are Gaelic. A lot of them are Gaelic and Celtic origin, which I did not realize.
You see them, I don't know, I just don't know how to, I'm going to go with Eric.
I was saying Eric when I was reading.
And
she
Eric
says
Basfia, is...
She says the Basquiath.
Basquiath.
Yes.
That's how I've heard it too.
Basquiath is how I've read it. She said Basquiath is the more Celtic.
Basquiath you were supposed to be doing the fact checking here.
I understand.
Instead, it's just an open dialogue that goes on as we go.
Yeah.
So.
Correct.
This is a great character in my opinion because he is the king's son. He is a prince. And he has snuck out of the castle, right?
Yep.
He has lied to his dad so that he could come to the war college and ride dragons. And that is, right off the bat, badass. I like this kid from the jump. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting that no one's supposed to know who he is, but Violet knows who he is. Because Violet has been the child of this prestigious military general, and she's been palling around with royalty since she was born. So she immediately sees him, and she's like, what the F is going on here? And he's like, low-key, don't tell on me, I want to ride dragons. She's like, okay, cool.
Respect.
Right.
Hashtag respect.
Right. And we also meet our girl, Sloane. Sloane gets a lot of hate.
Does she?
I've seen Sloane get a lot of hate, and I like Sloane too, because here's the thing. If I was Sloane, I would be real pissed at Violet as well.
Sloane is Liam's little sister. That Liam made Violet promise to look after.
And Sloane...
because he wasn't going to be there to do it himself.
Right. And Sloane wants not a blessed thing to do with Violet because she blames her for...
Violet.
Right. For Liam's death.
Yeah.
And side note, Sloane is the best name for a girl.
Sloane is a great name.
It is a top tier name for a girl. And Violet immediately tries to give her the Mira treatment and give her a real quick crash course of how to survive this school. And Sloane is...
fuck you.
The ultimate fuck you vibe.
Yeah.
And they... I'm going with Eric. Eric and Sloane both wind up in Violet's squad. And... that was Dane's doing. I think it was like a peace offering. Sloane was supposed to be in someone else's squad. Dane gets her put in with Violet, and Sloane is, she was pissed, now she is irate. She is super, super pissed. So all the kids that don't die on the parapet are at their first assembly.
Yep.
And we have our guy, Varish, who's new, and his dragon is there as well, and he's real evil. And when the dragons roll up, kids get scared, as anyone would, seeing a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the first years, some of the new people who just risked their life crossing this balance beam in the clouds, start to run.
Yeah.
And that proves to be a real bad idea. I mean, we've been taught since the beginning of Fourth Wing that running from dragons is a very bad idea.
I mean, that happens in the first book. That happens in Fourth Wing, too. People run and they get scorched.
On the first day of school?
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall that. So Varish's, like, sociopath dragon fries a bunch of children.
Yeah. But, like, he doesn't just... so, like, in Fourth Wing, they fry just the kid that runs away.
His aim isn't that good.
This dragon, Varish's dragon, is, like...
he's got no aim.
No aim, just kind of lights him up.
Or he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Or he's just a dick.
He's a dick.
He lights up a bunch of kids.
And just lights him up.
And Violet saves Sloane. She jumps on her. Her back gets burned. And that's... she saves her life.
Sloane couldn't give two shits that she just saved her life. Which is... one of the best parts.
Right. And this Varish's one... I think the dragon is one eye. Varish's one-eyed orange dragon is about to fry some more kids. And who comes in and saves the day?
Taren.
And Taren's like, try it again and I'll kill your rider, he says.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, Taren is responsible for the loss of the orange sociopath dragon's first eye. We find out here as well that Nolan, who's the healer, who's been healing her since she's gotten, you know, 5 million injuries in her, whatever, 19-20 years on this earth. And Rhiannon tells her something's up with him. Like,
He
hasn't been around, and he looks real worse for wear. He looks like he's dying. The healer's area is guarded. Like, something's up. And what's happening? Is he torturing people? We don't know. This is what I mean. This book has all these little tidbits that, like, if I was doing a summary, generally I would just gloss over.
They matter.
But in the end, all of this is going to kind of come back. We also realize that Imogen and Violet are buddy-buddy now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They
start jogging together, which is
running,
like...
yeah, jogging.
That I've never made a friend that way a day in my life. And yeah, Violet's like, I realized I was out of shape and we all almost died a bunch of times, so I'm going to start running. And Imogen's like, that sounds like a great idea. Mind if I join you? And off they go, and they're
gal pals. We cut to the first day in the training gym, right, which we're familiar with from the last book. First day, everyone just starts beating the shit out of each other. And a new kid walks in. And Violet looks at him, and it's like, he looks familiar. She noticed him when he was crossing the parapet because he reminded her of Jack Barlow. He had real Jack Barlow energy. He seemed like a dick. And he walks into the gym and just asks the crowd, hey, is Violet here? And the other girls, who was not Violet, as a joke, no, I don't know why this would be funny, she says, I'm Violet. And he promptly murders her.
Yes.
He snaps her neck right quick.
Yeah.
Violet, is shocked for a second, fights the kid, and ultimately she kills him, but not before he could tell her in her ear, last dying breath, secrets die with the people who keep them, which we've heard before. And his eyes are also a little reddish. Looks like, well, you know, he's got like, maybe eyes are a little bloodshot, allergies, something's going on, the poor kid. But he's dead now. And Dane tries to step in and help, and she just promptly tells him to go fuck off. That relationship is real sour.
Yeah.
Real sour. Worse than before. Dead in the water, as you will. We also learn on this first day in the gym that, and this is really surprising, Sloane, our girl Sloane, sucks at fighting.
Yeah. She's not good.
I don't know why Liam didn't prepare her better.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say.
He was a great fighter.
Yeah.
Like, top of the class. And this girl is a deer in the headlights. So it's another problem for Violet because she's like, how am I going to keep this? I got to keep this girl alive. Like, I promised my dead friend.
Yeah.
The world's on fire. I got to break into the archives. To be fair, she has a lot on her plate.
Yeah.
She does have a lot on her
plate.
And
she's finally stepping up in certain ways.
Right.
Being, you know, not just a little whiny bitch.
And we get Zayden's first visit. I think he's a little late, honestly.
Because they put him far, don't they?
Yeah, he's far away. He's a little late. And right away, they have, like, he's in her room. I guess he has nowhere else to stay. And we get straight-up married couple vibes from them, right? Like, he's, you know, cleaning his nails, and she's, you know, taking a shower. And they have, like, an old married couple vibe here. And we find out, like, how's your assignment? He's being discriminated against because of the mark on him, which we, you know, should have figured out. And, he tells her, I'm only going to bang it if you tell me, you know, you're into me. And she's going to die on this hill. Yeah. And I know the feeling. She's going to die on the hill. And she tells him no.
Well, because she says, like, I'll sleep with you, but it's nothing more, right? Well, that's what she says. She's like, we can sleep together. That's fine. But
and he's like, I'm past that. That was my shtick. Okay? You're throwing it back in my face.
Yeah.
And you know.
And I appreciate it.
And also, I think, Violet, it's funny that you think you're going to be able to hold out from me. That's what if I was Zayden, that's what I would have said.
Yeah.
Good luck, sweetheart. I'll wait. Are there any apples I could peel with a knife? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? And he also tells her door, you know, he was kind enough to put a spell on her door. It's warded, so no one could break in and try to kill her again, because that's happened before. And she can bring anyone she wants into her room, but she has to be touching them. So, like, you could hold someone's hand and bring them into her room. He also throws out there in a real sultry tone that when she gets to his military base, his door is warded and the only person who could come in is her. Dun, dun, dun. He's laying the fucking groundwork. That would have been enough for me.
Actions speak louder than words, Violet.
Mm-hmm. My pants would have been on the floor before he could have finished the sentence, but she's just
an idiot.
She's a dope. She's a dope.
She's the smartest idiot.
Right.
That this book is trying to make.
And Bodhi comes and they have to go on some, you know, secret revolution mission, which they don't tell her about, which irks her even more. And he gives her,
adds fuel to her fire.
He gives her a letter as he's leaving. And spoiler alert, he just starts giving her letters every time he sees her, telling, like, intimate things about himself. Like, he's trying to open up. This damaged, closed-off man is trying everything in his power to open up to this woman, and she is an icicle. She's an icicle. Cue to her and Imogen running, and she starts to bitch to Imogen about Zayden. Imogen is like, bitch, don't you have any other friends?
Correct. This is when we start seeing how much she's alienating
Brandon. Alienating all of her friends. And that's what Imogen tries to tell her. Like, hey,
I'm not really your friend. Like, I'm his friend and you're, like, his girl. So, like, that's her vibe.
Yeah.
Like yeah, we're
friend
cool.
Friend by association.
But don't come talking shit about my friend to me.
Correct.
He's trying to save the world. Cut him some slack. And if you have to bitch, go find Rhiannon.
Yeah.
We also have Jacinia back again, who's helping them look, you know, Violet hits her and is like, listen, I need any books that you have about wards, the founding of this college. Like, she's looking for the oldest text in the library, and she makes up some half-ass lie about needing it for a project or whatever. And we see in this, I think this is the exchange where she had already asked Jacinia about this. Jacinia comes out while her and Imogen are running and to talk to her about what she could find, what she couldn't find yet.
She's like on the field, right? Doesn't she come like meet them on the field?
Yeah, she meets them on the field. And from the distance, we see like a body being dragged out of the library, kicking and screaming. And Violet's like, what's going on? And Jacinia's like, well, they're punishing people who ask questions around the library. And Violet's like, oh shit, like, maybe this was dangerous.
Just maybe. Violet.
Again, her intelligence is once again on absolute and full display here. Yeah. Like, that you put your friend... Like, it's just... It's comedy. So, after this, Varish becomes obsessed with seeing Andarna.
Yes.
He gets a hard-on for seeing that dragon.
Yes.
And he keeps demanding that for their dragon class, their dragon riding class, which is just part of their curriculum, that she bring Andarna.
Yeah.
No one can bring Andarna because Andarna is in her dreamless puberty sleep. And no one can know that because it's top secret that she's a baby. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. That is correct. He like keeps being like, well, I hope I get to see her soon. I hope I get to see. And it only gets worse.
Right. And he starts harassing her about it. And he throws a tidbit out there like, wasn't your dad writing a book about Feathertales?
Yeah.
And there might be another black dragon. And he's throwing out all these tidbits. And she is like, go fuck yourself. I'm not bringing you. She's not coming. And she just keeps showing up to the class without what she's being instructed to bring, which is Andarna. And as she's going to leave for her first visit with Zayden, her and Bodhi are walking out. And we find out that there wasn't just an attempt on her life. Someone's tried to kill him too. There's been assassination attempts on everyone who was on that super secret Venon mission. And Varish comes out and searches her. This becomes what he does every time he leaves. He searches her. He's looking for contraband. He makes her dump out her bag. And Bodhi had been there to put the secret contraband on the dragon.
Right, because he's also now taking over the kind of like...
He's the Zayden now.
Well, because
he's smuggling the weapons, right? Like, he's in charge of getting the stuff out
from
of...
From
the war college to
the Griffin Riders.
Right. So, as they're walking out to load up her dragon and get her to Zayden, she gets searched. They don't find anything. They're too scared to search the dragon, which... Why even search her? Because if you're too scared to search a dragon, where would you put the contraband?
Correct.
And he tells her, you know, when you get back, you're in big trouble because you haven't brought Andarna. So, just have a nice time with your boyfriend, but when you come back, you're fucked.
Right.
Which would put a damper on my whole leave.
Correct.
That would be a weekend ruiner right then and there.
If I've ever heard one.
Right. She gets to Zayden's military base and she's looking around. She goes to his room and he's not there. She can't figure out where he is. And she feels like the pull of their bond, which she's also stopped speaking to him through their brains because it's too intimate and she can't trust him after all of the, you know, the secrets.
Yes.
So,
of course.
Right, right. Yeah, that she'll show him.
Yes, she will.
Not having Violet's voice in your brain must have been the greatest gift of
ever. Must have been the greatest gift she's ever given him. Yes. To this day.
Indeed. Indeed. He had a week reprieve of that voice in his head. She searches around and she feels his pull and she goes, she's like going down. She's in a dungeon in the basement.
She's just walking around this military base.
Right.
This
right.
like highly guarded, like
she's wandering,
active
like,
military base. She's just wandering
around. Right. And she finds him in the basement, in a fight club, basically.
Yeah.
He's in fight club. And they're in a pit, and everyone's cheering, and him and some other guy just beating the absolute shit out of each other. But she is noticing right away how hot he looks doing it. She's like...
I mean, rightfully so.
Rightfully so. As soon as she walks down there, she's like, what have I done? And she's like, what's going on here? And the girl next to her is like, oh, you don't know? There's only one weekend pass. Only one person gets a pass to leave the base for the weekend. And, like, your man knew you were coming for your weekly visit. So he's down there, you know.
Trying to get it.
Trying
the shit out of
get
someone
it
else
for
it.
You. Yes. And again, right there. That would have been enough.
Correct. Correct.
Girl, that's correct. Enough. That's an absolute enough.
There's literally, aside from the lying about, you know, the revolution and about these creatures that are in secret of everything, he literally doesn't do anything else that's a red flag in, that I can think of.
His flags are green, man.
His flags are maybe a little yellow at times, but for the most part, green as green can be.
Right. So she tells him, she's like, uses the bond again. She's like, finish him. You know, like Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Mortal Kombat. And he's like, oh, shit, she's here. Okay. So he does. He finishes them. And she is standing there really regretting probably the ultimatum. I think she's probably watching this having some regrets in her life. But, yes. Okay. So the fight finishes and she is like, let's get naked.
And he said,
no, thank you.
Correct.
I would end my life. And
she, right up there with Cataclysmic.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
She's realizing she made a cataclysmic mistake.
She did. Yeah, exactly.
We have to just start inserting cataclysmic into these podcasts so that way it can be part of our merch.
Such a good word, but I don't want it to lose its value. And he throws her bullshit right back in her face. And good. He was like, I'm into you and I'm not going to use sex to get you back. Let's go out on the town. And she realizes, like, oh, he wants me to tell him I love him.
Right.
And she doesn't do it. So they go out, and then we have more married couple vibe. Like, they're an old married couple. And the rest of the weekend goes off without a hitch, and now she has to go back to school. He does tell her that the metal what they're smuggling is metal from the school.
Right.
And that metal makes the daggers, and those daggers are the only thing that could kill the venom. Yes. Right? Which I had already put that together. If she hadn't, then I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
But
I thought that was very clear in the first book. She's figuring it out now.
Yeah, he tells her, and it's supposed to be a moment of, like, truth sharing. And he probably gives her some more letters. The letters are all intimate. Like, this man is doing his best. So she gets back to school, and Varish tortures her. Her punishment when she gets back is that she has to wield lightning, which we should mention, she sucks at wielding lightning.
She sucks at it. There is zero aim, zero accuracy, and truthfully, she doesn't even have consistency. She's zero consistency.
Right. She doesn't know what she's doing.
So he takes her to one-on-one.
Takes her onto a mountain, basically, where she can't hurt anyone, and he just makes her throw lightning until she's basically about to die.
Yeah.
She, like, he burns out her power so bad, she is on death's
doorstep. She's, like, on fire, essentially.
She's about to burn out.
And Taryn said, like, even Taryn is like, he's gonna murder you, and he was like, pretty much like, I'm about to end him.
So Taryn comes, and it finally ends, and she's about to die, and he grabs her and takes her to, a frigid lake and, like, gives her a cold plunge, right? Yeah. She's ahead of her time. She's cold plunging, and some of the other members of Zayden's squad come, and they help her cool down. Everyone kind of pitches in to keep her alive.
From dying.
Yeah. So after she doesn't die, her day just keeps getting worse because someone throws a bag over her head. They drink water, which has poison in it, and they can't communicate with their dragons while they're in the woods, which is new for this year. We find out later. This is not part of this class usually. Yeah. The good news
Let's add salt to all the wounds.
Right. And she winds up with a bunch of different characters. So she has her friends, right? Like her squad. She's with Rhiannon. She has Riddick, who's super funny. I just love him.
He's really great.
He's the comic relief of this book. Correct. Yeah. And there's other characters here we're introduced to. So there's a scribe who's with them. It's not Jacinia. It's a different scribe. Infantry. And there's infantry as well, okay. Right? So it's a mishmash of people, a lot of strangers, but she is with her friends, and a lot of egos are in this group. And they're told, here's some maps. You got to find your way out of the woods. And the other squad, their dragons are looking for you to kill you along the way. And so it's just another mission in which you could possibly die.
We're seeing a trend.
Right.
We're seeing a theme.
Camping with dragons doesn't sound as fun
as... Camping with dragons does not sound fun at all.
Doesn't sound fun at all. And we have Riddick, who's fighting with the other, I think the infantry leader, and they're just... It's a dick-swinging contest. Yeah. And Rhiannon's trying to take charge of the situation. She's kind of failing. And they're arguing about which way to go, and as they go deeper and deeper, they realize that the reason that they're arguing is because the maps aren't the same. They have two different maps. They are 100% lost. Yes. Now. And they have to set up camp. And in the woods, who do they run into but Jack Barlow's dragon?
Yes.
And he attacks them. And now remember, Violet and crew are used to dragons.
Right.
The infantry and soldiers are not. And she is trying to tell everyone, whatever you do, do not run. Do not run. If there is a mantra that should be on the cover of these books is don't run from dragons.
Another merch.
So someone tries to run, unsurprisingly.
Shocker.
And their friend, these are all kind of side characters. Their friend saves them. So we have a dead person, and then we have a person who's now
injured?
Indebted, right? Right. Well, we have a dead person. We have someone who's indebted to Violet. And the scribe is like, you saved our lives. And they're just, they fail. Kind of fucked. They didn't make it. Totally fucked in the middle of the woods. Their dragons come and get them out. And then the teachers come to get the rest of the kids who don't have dragons. And it's like, yeah, you guys sucked.
You failed miserably.
You failed. And she also failed her. She also realizes that she missed her visit with Zayden while she was trapped in the woods.
Mm.
Right. So Taryn got to get it on. He's pretty happy. She's pretty pissed. And now she has to wait a whole nother week to see him. Jacinia, after this, we get some more Jacinia and Violet action, and Jacinia's like, listen, I know you're bullshitting me. I know there's no class. I understand what you're asking for, and I understand that it's dangerous, but could you just level with me? And here is another, let's call it a character flaw of Violet's, is that she lies to her friends a lot.
Yeah.
And she has really good friends, like solid friends.
Under the played-out trope of, I'm saving them. Right. I'm protecting them.
Right.
And it's like, Violet, you can't even protect yourself by you not telling your friends these important things. You're only hurting them further.
And they're all badasses in the school.
And they're all badasses. Not a single one can't fend for themselves or figure it out.
Right, right. And they've proven.
You're only hurting yourself.
They have proven over and over again.
Time and time again, yeah.
That they should have her trust. But anyway, Justinia's like, I know you're bullshit. Let's stop beating around it. I'll help you, but you can only come on Saturdays because that's the only time that we won't get caught.
Right. This is her only time. It's the only time I'm alone.
Please only come on Saturday. Yeah. Do you think Violet could stick to that rule?
No.
No.
God, no.
Yeah, she's so worried about putting her life on the line and then doesn't follow the only rule. And then we find out that the person who was dragged out of the library was killed. And they were killed because their family died in an attack, right? Their family at home died in an attack. The kid kept going to the library looking for information on that attack.
Hmm.
The information didn't exist. Why?
And he started getting
because
pissed.
We're hiding information, and he kept going back and asking for it. And by the third time, they could not handle having this kid as a threat, and they execute him.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like, an overlooked part of this book, but it's so fucking sad.
Yeah,
it's
really
so
sad.
It's
so glossed over, and I think it's because at this point we're so
immune to all the craziness.
Yeah, we're so desensitized to, like, the crazy BS of it, but when you break it down and you think, like, this poor kid's entire family died, and he therefore died because he wanted to find out why. Like, it is, yeah.
And Violet still can't only go to the library on Saturdays.
Correct.
But we'll get there. Back in the sparring ring, we have Sloane there, who Violet hasn't really figured out exactly how to help yet. She still sucks at fighting. So what does Violet do? Violet goes back to her roots and
Poisons
Sloane's opponent. Ding, ding, ding. When in doubt,
poison
their breakfast. When in doubt, poison it out. And she tells her after, like, listen, you gotta train you. We're training you. I promised your brother. And the girl is...
You can hate me all you want.
Yeah, the girl,
like,
says, go fuck yourself. And Imogen was like, well, how about me? You know, like, Imogen will do it. And she's still, like, telling everyone no. And Violet is like, how about if I bribe you with your dead brother's letters to you? Now, it was effective,
correct,
right? And the girl was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right, let's piss Sloane off a little bit more.
Right, but she, yeah, exactly. But she...
By baiting her.
Right, but...
She goes for it because I would too. She got 52 letters. She's like, I'll give you one every week you train.
Effective, but fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, the carrot, the dangling the carrot of your dead brother's letters to you. Yeah. Holy crap. The next time we have Violet going out to see Zayden, she gets there and he's on leave. So we start to see a pattern that they're clearly being kept apart from each other as a punishment.
He didn't get leave. He was out on...
He was out on assignment.
He was on assignment.
Varish has him on an assignment. So she just rots away in the, you know, in his barracks by herself while the dragons bang it out.
Yeah.
And has to come back to school. But he did leave her a letter. She has another letter. He's doing his best. He's doing his best with what he has. And she gets back and she's still bitching about Zayden to Imogen. And this is actually when Imogen tells her, talk to your actual friends. Stop bitching about my friend to me. And he's trying to save the world. So get your head out of your ass.
Right. Correct. Finally.
Right.
Someone had to say it.
Zayden comes back for his next visit and he realizes what she's doing about with the archives and that she's trying to find this secret information. And he's super pissed because it's dangerous. He's actually so pissed he ditches her in the middle of the night, which is a power move. It's a power move because it's a power move because I like Zayden and I don't like Violet. It's a shitty move in real life, but it's a power move, Zayden.
It just, to me, it does. The whole idea behind this is that, like, oh, well, you're keeping secrets from me. It's so middle school. You're keeping secrets from me, so I'm keeping secrets from you.
Right. The difference is that he's been doing this and risking his life and other people's lives for years. And she just got invited to the party 5 minutes ago.
Right.
She just got a seat at the cool kids table, and she's
drunk on power.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
She is the Caddy Heron.
Right, exactly. So Varish keeps on trying to punish Violet. So again, he's going to take her because no one's seen Andarna still. So he takes her again and he's about to make her lightning herself to death until Taryn, this is such a power move. Taryn rolls in and is like, knock it off or else. And we see everyone is afraid of Taryn. And you kind of forget that because he's this character who's just witty and grumpy and just absolutely sarcastic and hilarious. So I at least tend to forget sometimes that
he's so powerful.
He's so scary to everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we get like the inside look.
Right.
We get the inside look of like their dynamic. So you're like, ha ha, LOL. And you're like, oh fuck. When people look at him,
he's a savage.
They're terrified.
He's a savage. So he steps in and essentially threatens Varish's dragon. He's like, I will take his other fucking eye. I will kill it. Like, until Varish apologizes. He makes him apologize. He makes him... It is just the... Oh, it's such a it power is so, move.
You get such satisfaction. Like,
he makes him get on his knees.
Part of you, realizes that this is only going to backfire eventually. Like, this is only going to make life worse. But majority of you is like, yes.
Yeah.
This is, yes.
He makes him...
Satisfying.
He makes him get on his knees. So what's been going on...
Because doesn't he get him by the neck? Doesn't he get Varish's dragon by, like, the neck and is like, I will end him.
Right
and
now.
Therefore you.
Right. And he's like, okay, sorry. Just
JK,
hold on.
JK.
Everyone, take a breather.
LOL.
Violet, this entire time through this book, has been shitting all over Rhiannon, who Rhiannon knows what's up. And she keeps asking her, like, something's wrong.
I know something's wrong. You're not telling me. I know something went down when you were away and you're not saying it. Like, all of a sudden you're best friends with Imogen. Like,
what's happening?
And, like, what are we doing?
So, we have a scene now where Violet is getting ready to go for her next visit with Zayden. Time goes quick in this book. It's just very, like... And Rhiannon
They jump from big moment to big moment.
Right. So Rhiannon is walking her to her dragon, essentially, to pack up and go. And she's less of a shitbag for the... Finally, Violet is about to break down and tell her everything. But they get interrupted. She has, like... They have a vulnerable moment. And Violet's like, you're right. I have been lying to you. And Rhiannon is super sweet about it. And she's about to unload everything. And they get interrupted by her... weekly pat down before she goes.
Yeah.
She makes it to Zayden and he pulls a really daddy move and asks her, she lands and she wants to kiss him and he pulls a real daddy move and is like, you have to ask me. And their makeout session gets interrupted by our girl, Mira, who is like, what the fuck is going on here? Hold, please.
Correct.
Whiplash.
Understand the dragons are bonded, but not this.
Whiplash. My sis, what is happening? And we find out Mira has been moved to the same base as Zayden. Right. So, Zayden goes off. I think he has to do something. He has something work related, and we have sister bonding time between Mira and Violet, in which Violet is so dumb. She just starts flat out asking Mira all of these incredibly ludicrous
specific
questions about Venon and Wyvern and all of these things that are absolute treason. And she has zero covert skills.
None whatsoever. I will say that in book one, and it was such a minute detail that like it wasn't worth interrupting your flow. At one point, Mira says, like, during a griffin attack, she said something along the lines of, like, I thought I saw dragons in the distance.
Right.
Like, I thought I saw them, but then all of a sudden they were gone, but they weren't real, like, couldn't have been dragons because they only had two legs or something like that. Like, she kind of alludes to seeing Wyvern.
Right.
But without knowing it was Wyvern.
Right.
So then, fast forward to this book where Violet is just flat out being like, so.
Yeah.
Just like, you idiot.
So she's the worst at trying to get this covert information. And Mira is just looking at her like she has three heads. And is like, have you been sleeping? Like, what's Zayden doing to you? Like, what? Like, you're...
What's going on
Yeah,
here?
Like, you're losing your... She thinks, like, you're losing your shit. Get some rest. Then we cut to her and Zayden being married couple again. Mm-hmm. Pillow talk. And she's asking him a bunch of questions, and then she's shocked that he's actually answering them. So we have some trust getting built back up here. It's supposed to be this big moment, and yada yada, they're back. When Violet gets back, she's injured for the 77,000th time, and she's back at school. She gets hurt in some way that means nothing because she's always hurt. And she goes to see Nolan, and she's a baby and a brat, and she's usually getting pushed to the front of the healing line, and she gets waitlisted. And they're like, by the time he sees you, whatever injury you have is going to be healed. And how dare they, because she's a VIP at the healers, but she stalks off. Dane uses his small dick energy and wing leader status to make Violet fight him in the gym after this. And he admits, finally, that he actually read her memories and ran to daddy. And he's just misunderstood. He's misunderstood. He's trying to explain to her because he knows Zayden has bad intentions and he's afraid Zayden's going to hurt her. And by the way, didn't you know your mom put those 107 lines on his back? So obviously he's going to hurt you. So don't you get it? Like, don't you see what I did and why I did it? Cue me not feeling sorry for Dane.
Cue eye roll. Cue him in his Daniness. Like, it is just, he's being real Daney.
And so now
it doesn't do anything. Obviously, this fight doesn't mend or fix.
No. But he does admit it. At least he admits it. I'll give him that. So now we get more time with Eric, who I just fucking love this kid. I don't know. He's not even in the book so much, but whenever he is, I'm like, I just adore you. It's refreshing.
He's a refreshing tertiary character.
This is a prince who ran away to go to a war college, right? Like, this kid could have been eating ice cream for breakfast and ruling the empire.
Yeah.
And instead, he's like, Dad, I'm going on a 21st vacation trip.
Yep.
His dad thinks he's, like, in Miami.
Popping bottles.
And he's
305?
Right. So he gets hurt, and Violet has to walk him down to the doctor, who I guess, like, there's other doctors, because we know that Nolan is busy.
Well,
because
there are healers that don't have magic, and then there's Nolan that's a mender that can, like, physically fix a bone versus a healer who's, like, a nurse or a doctor.
Right.
Without powers.
So Eric, who I love, just spits out to Violet on the way in real casual conversation, oh, I actually know about the Venon. That's why I'm here.
Right.
And you were just like, I fucking loved you 5 minutes ago, but I love you so much more now. Like, you are the... Like, when do you get some action? Like, where's your girlfriend? Because you are the second hero in this entire book. And he is suddenly part of the cool kids crowd who's going to save the world. Like, he's just in.
Yes.
He's absolutely
in.
What?
I guess it's an automatic in when you know and you're doing something to fight it.
But how casual was he about it?
So casual. It was so casual.
And he snuck away from his dad because his dad knows too and his dad doesn't want to do shit about it.
Do shit about it, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to take his life in his hands, learn how to ride a dragon, and...
figure his shit out.
Figure his shit out on his own. He doesn't need his dad.
We love him.
Not like Dane. He does not need his dad.
Daddy issues Dane.
Right. So, Zayden is back, and they're about to have a date, and it gets interrupted because she has to go to her first mock, and I'm saying the word mock in quotations, faux interrogation. And I'm saying faux in air quotes as well.
Yes.
So she's still hurt because the healer line was too long for her to wait on. And Zayden's like, you can't take her. She's hurt. You're not supposed to go into these things hurt. And they say...
this is real combat. She'd be hurt anyway, so she got to figure it out.
Yeah, let's go. And the great part about this is that she does at least get kidnapped and interrogated with her friends.
Yes.
So if you're going to be tortured, who would you rather do it with than your crew?
Rhiannon and Riddick. Truly.
Absolutely. So they get there and they try to give them some refreshments again. And Violet is like, do not drink that. It's probably the same drug that they gave us, so we couldn't talk to our dragons in the woods. Even though we probably won't have food or water. Knock it off.
Yeah.
I think they eat that's what they give them, biscuits and juice.
Because the biscuits are dry.
Like a preschool class.
Yes.
And she's like, but we might as well eat. And now they're full of dry-ass biscuits, but they don't drink the water. They dump it, and no one knows. And they just start beating the shit out of Violet. Varys is there, and he is just absolutely fucking her up in a way that feels excessive even for this torture class.
Correct.
And everyone else is forced to watch, but
they're only hurting her.
Right. And the other ones are just watching.
Yeah.
And they have essentially all secrets that they each have to tell a secret, and they're trying to break them. They're trying to get them to tell their secrets and the other one's secrets. Yeah. And these three awesome friends stick together and hold it all in, and it's tough because it's tough for Violet because she's getting absolutely abused. Mm. But it's tough for her friends too, because who could watch that? That's probably worse. That has to be the worst of. But they all handle their shit, and Dane comes in. Suddenly we have Dane arrive, and Varys tells Dane, "You got to read her mind. We got to find out her secret."
Yeah.
And with an ounce of integrity,
shocking turn of events,
Dane says no. And he's like, whoa, hold on, that's not what this is about. No. And
she's also injured, like, yeah.
She's injured, what are you doing? I'm not touching her. But you see that Varys, in that moment that Varys is training Dane. There's a relationship there that's a little closer than Dean, head of the school, headmaster, and student. So that's kind of pricks your senses a little bit. And Dane says, fuck off, and leaves. So now we have Nolan come, because he's supposed to heal her.
Yeah.
Nolan comes in to heal Violet.
Yes.
Likely so that they could just start torturing her all over again.
Yeah.
So when Nolan fixes up Violet, he leaves a window open.
Yes.
He leaves them a way to get out.
Yes.
And they're allowed to get out. The idea is to get out. You get like some kind of badge.
Yeah,
like
you can
a Girl Scout badge.
If you break out, then you.
So.
Because the one teacher's like waiting outside for them.
Yeah. Like I'm picturing like a beach chair and like a cooler of Budweiser's.
Yeah,
like
just waiting.
Right.
Umbrella.
So
he doesn't get sunburned.
They argue for like a second and Rhiannon's like, we have to get out of here because I think he's gonna kill her. Like this is not a normal situation, Rhiannon. Yeah. We gotta get the fuck out of here. So they do. They get out. They're able to, I think Riddick uses his power to get them out. And then they get to the final door to get out and it's locked. No one can do anything. And Violet realizes she uses her knife and her knife has some power to open the door.
Yeah.
And out they go and they win the badge and they make a run for it. And Violet doesn't get unalived and success. The teacher's like, oh, what was up with that knife? Congratulations. Go back to school. So they get back to school. The next scene we have, this is odd. There's like leaflets. Basically like 10 things I hate about you. Like house party flyers style all over the place. And the leaflets are talking about an attack on a village or a city. And there was blue dragon fire. And
like a tell-all.
Attack that they had not been informed Greased about by in the school. Yeah. And Varys is like, trying to get control
propaganda.
Over this.
They
call it propaganda. We'll talk about it later. And you start to see that some people are buying it and some people are like starting to question things. Yeah. But before you have time to really think about any of this, Jack fucking Barlow is back.
Jack fucking Barlow. Stepford. Jack fucking Barlow.
I will say that I did not see that coming. With all the complaints I have about these books, there were a lot of things that genuinely surprised me, which is kind of hard to do. Yes. So Jack fucking Barlow is back, and I'm just like, whoa. We find out that that's why Nolan has been looking worse for the wear. He's just been reviving this demon and bringing him back to life.
Yes.
And they introduce him, and everyone is looking around.
He's practically dead. You're not supposed to bring back dead people, so he's probably an inch from life. And Nolan...
People are just looking at each other like, what the hell is going on here? But now, now we have the Flyers, Jack Barlow back, and that's not over. We have our third surprise. This is like the worst assembly ever. And there's an attack on Samara, which is the military base. They find out that there's an attack on the military base where Zayden
and Mira.
And Mira are stationed. And as they're briefing them on this, they tell them someone over there is gravely injured. They don't give a name. And Violet starts to snap the fuck out. Like, wouldn't you? Is it my sister? Is it my fake boyfriend that I've been torturing that I probably shouldn't have? Maybe this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know? And she, the teacher who is giving the news, she's an ally of theirs. She's one of the only ones who
actually wants to teach them.
Who's not seemingly evil. And she gives Violet like a signal on her neck where Zayden's mark is. And Violet knows that the teacher's trying to tell her the injured party is Zayden, but she's not gonna, she also knows she's not gonna get confirmation on this. So in this moment, she has to decide, what am I gonna do? And she goes AWOL. She hops on her dragon. She heads to the military base. Yeah. She is away without leave from a military school with a headmaster
that wants her dead.
It's a
recipe for disaster.
Absolute recipe for disaster. But I see why she did it. And remember, Taryn is also snapping out because his soulmate's over there too. Right, yeah. So he's on board for this mission, and they make record breaking time because it's a long flight. I forget how long it is, but they
it eats up a chunk of the leave.
Right. And they only get 18 hours.
Yeah, they only get like 12 hours together.
So they fly there in record breaking time, and she finds Zayden, and she's so overwhelmed by him not being dead, she fucks him in the shower. And that is an appropriate response. And it's one that took too long, but you know what? I'm glad we finally got there. I'm glad we finally got there. And after they finish doing it, like, what else would you do? But they go out and they link up with some super hot Griffin riders.
Yeah.
Couple females, couple ladies.
Yeah.
And Zayden is asking them, we're cool. Like, why did you just attack me? I was hurt.
Right.
Because he was hurt, but it wasn't as bad as they reported. And, you know, the healers got to him. So by the time she was on the long flight there, he was back. He was back full force. So he's like, I thought we were all on the same side. Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And they essentially tell him, you're taking too long and we need more weapons. Like, we didn't have a choice. And we meet in this exchange, Zayden's ex-girlfriend, Kat.
Oh, Kat.
And Kat's a real bitch.
Kat's a real bitch.
Yep.
Kat's a real bitch and is real salty that Zayden is with Violet.
And she's like, you want to know why we attacked your military base? Because you're a pussy. And we need a luminary, and you won't get it, so we need more knives. What's a luminary, one might ask? It's what they need to...
What's a luminary, you might ask?
One might ask. It's what they need to make more of the metal so they don't have to keep stealing it from the war college.
Yeah.
And this guy has one, Viscount Takaris, Viscount Takaris, who is a collector of things, as we'll find out. He's just
which just sounds fucking creepy.
He's a rich noble, right? And his name is creepy. We wonder why Zayden, What wouldn't you be willing to risk to save the world?
Dun, dun, dun.
And they're back together. Violet and Zayden. Do they have like a book couple name?
No.
Vaden.
Vaden?
Vaden. I don't like that. It sounds like
Xylit is bad too, so never mind. That's why Biden. This is why they don't have a name, because they don't go together very good.
Xylit.
Right. Spoiler alert, because I don't know if it's here or if it's somewhere else. But what Viscount Karras wants is Violet. He is a collector of things, and he's super interested in having her come to his house and do a little show and see her power. She's a lightning wielder. It's rare. He likes rare things, and he wants to see Violet in action, and our man Zayden is not really having that. He won't do it. So when she finally gets back to school, Varish searches her again. Now, the problem here is that when Violet was leaving school to protect herself, Zayden gave her one of those fancy venom-killing daggers. Mm-hmm. She comes back wearing his flight jacket.
Yes.
It's very Sandra Dee in Grease.
Yes.
And she has the knife on the interior pocket, and Varish is waiting there to search her. And she realizes in that minute she's about to be fucked.
Yeah.
Because if they find this knife, there's too much explaining to do.
Yeah.
So she takes off the jacket. They start going through her stuff, and they're outside Rhiannon's room. And Rhiannon opens the door to see what's going on, and we see this like Gestapo search happening in the hallway. And when they get to the jacket and they search it, they don't find anything. And she's relieved but confused, and she gets away with it all.
Yeah.
And off she goes. And into Rhiannon's room, and she realizes that Rhiannon used her signet to disappear the dagger from the jacket, and she can move items.
Yeah.
So she got it out of the jacket and into her room, and she hid it because Rhiannon is the best friend
a girl could ask for.
Ever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what puts it over the edge, and Violet finally spills the beans to her and Riddick, and now everyone is in. She tells them everything. She tells them everything about Zayden, about the dead brother, about the mission that, you know, the war mission that Dane's dad sent them on. Kat is out of the bag. And
she does this all without letting Zayden know, though, right?
Well, how could she? Because he's at the military base and she just got back.
It's just fun. It's a funny build up to when Zayden comes back.
She's like shocked that they're not assholes about it. And I'm like, are you? Because none of us are.
None of us are.
What the hell, man? And as she's telling them this, Riddick, who is this funny side character who's there for comic relief, is like, wait, you guys have been looking for these books? Don't you know they're in the basement? And it's like, oh,
he's also
shit.
Portrayed as like a dum-dum.
Yeah,
like,
just
he's
like
just the doofy. Yeah.
He's the frat boy of the group. He's the class clown. And he's like, hold on, like, you guys have been looking for these because we know exactly where they are. And it's like, well, what the good.
How does he know?
He knows because when they broke into Violet's mom's office, he saw something. No one else was reading documents when we broke into your mom's office last year. Like, that was just me. You guys were just, like, there to fuck around. You're in the archives in the basement. And Violet, had you filled your friends in on your plans a lot earlier, we would have all known that. So the key, now the next question is, how are we going to get them? Because they're locked in the archives downstairs, yada, yada. And next we have Violet almost getting assassinated again, which is unfortunate. So there's a first year who's mentioned a couple times, like, throughout the book. Her name is Aya, E-Y-A. And she is out on, they have a guard duty. So they're up in a tower, and she tells Riddick, hey, you go find out more about these books. I'm going to stay here. We're going to do our little watch.
Yeah.
And they get attacked. Her and this girl, Aya, get attacked by four would-be assassins.
Yes.
And they fight them off, and unfortunately the other girl dies, and our girl Violet is also about to die. She's hanging over the side of this cliff.
Yeah.
And as she's can't hold on anymore and her death is a heartbeat away,
looming, yeah,
someone saves her.
Yep. Someone does save her.
And I'm not gonna lie, I'm real shocked again, because the person who saves her is Jack fucking Barlow. And he's been nice to everyone, which is just weird. But
he's been like Stepford. It's been like a Stepford version of Jack Barlow.
Right.
So, he's sentimental. It's just making it skin crawly, right? And he pulls her up and he saves her life. And he tells her, I think, something along the lines of, like, now we're even. So now we get to our girl, Jacinia, who has found the secret vault. She tells Riddick she knows what's going on. But in the world's most convenient twist, they need someone from the king's bloodline to open the king's archives. Holy cannoli!
Thankfully, we know someone who wants that.
Who could we... Who do we know that also, fits the bill?
Who is also already pissed off at Daddy.
Right, and part of this revolution by proxy. So, Zayden comes back and finds out about their little plan, and he's again, super pissed. He's super pissed. He's mad she told her friends. He's mad she's risking her life. He's mad about all the things. But eventually, like, I'll help you with your crazy library mission. Let's just get this over with. So they they gather the gang. Imogen is there. Eric is there. Rhiannon, Riddick. The whole crew is there. And they go through... when the whole group meets up for the first time, we have an awkward moment because what we didn't realize until this point is that Zayden killed Eric's brother. He killed the other prince who had died in the school, which is why the dad didn't want this kid going.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a
little sour note.
It's a little sour note, a little dick swinging. And Zayden is like, I don't really care. Your brother was a sociopath. And I just feel like there's other ways you could have approached that.
Right.
Especially because you need this kid to get the books. But they handle their shit. They don't like it. And off they go. And they have to split up. And it's a whole mission. The moral of the story is they get the books. Mm-hmm. They get the books. Eric pulls Violet into the chamber. They find them. He has to burn the shit out of his hands because while his bloodline could open the door, he really wasn't supposed to access these books that they need. And his hands are like shredded, burnt to shit. They almost don't make it out. Zayden saves him, pulls him out of the door as it's closing, and they all somehow get out of this mission unscathed. Yeah. They split up the books. There's two of them. They're journals, but what's in the books is really kind of irrelevant at this point. So Zayden takes Zayden takes one, Violet takes the other one, and off they go. They're going to split them up. And just as everyone's super happy that the mission has worked, who do we run into? Our girl, Violet, runs into her old friend, Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolan is like, holy cow, you look kind of thirsty. You want some lemonade? And Violet's like, sure, that's not weird at all that you were standing here with lemonade after I just almost died. Let me take it and drink it without a second thought. Right. So
it makes me want to pull my hair out.
I know. So, spoiler alert, it was poison.
Spoiler alert, she can't talk to Taryn.
She can't talk to Taryn, and she passes out, and she wakes up, and guess what? She's in the torture chamber again. And they are torturing the shit out of her. And now this is going on for not like last time. This is not quick. It's days and days, and the torture is super severe. And every day he comes in and heals her so that they can just start torturing her again. And it's forever. It's ongoing and it's forever. And the only thing that gets Violet through this, sigh, and I'll give everyone we'll take a breath here so we can all sigh. The only thing that gets Violet through this is the visions that she has of her old friend, Liam, who sits with her and tells her, I won't leave you, and sits with her and talks to her while she's just...
devastating.
It is. It's really devastating. It actually would have been less devastating if they just didn't bring him back at all. It would have been less devastating if she just got through. If she if she suddenly became a badass and got through this on her own. The torture is, it's bad. And it's also pretty quickly apparent that they don't even want her. This is a ruse to get Zayden to come try to break her out so that they can condemn him.
Yeah. Correct.
This is all to get to Zayden. And she's simultaneously hoping he comes because she doesn't want to die down there, but knowing he really shouldn't and kind of hoping he won't, and she'll just end it in the dungeon. So we get an appearance from Dane again. And he
Just follow us for a minute before you make any snap judgments.
I hope you've read this book already if you're listening, but if you really are here for the cliff notes, then
just follow along.
Dane rolls in and they once again tell him he has to read.
It's a matter of life or death. Violet's
memories. It is a matter of national security.
She's part of the problem. She's part of this group that's trying to take down the school. And they pretty much just tell him all that so that way he touches her.
Right. And because Dane loves the rules. And Dane trusts the government. And Dane is a good soldier who really believes in the bullshit that these people are selling. He genuinely, that's an important part. Like, he really does believe in the bullshit that they're selling. Yes. It might not be enough to fully redeem him, but it's true.
Yes.
And he, because of all this, he doesn't walk away like last time. And he grabs her head and she decides, instead of trying to shield him out, which she now has some ability to do, yeah. I got nothing left. Fuck it. I'm going to show him everything. And that's what she does. She gives him all the memories, every single thing. He sees it all. And he drops her head and he turns to Varish and says, well, she's been stealing metal to make weapons and giving them to the enemy. And your heart, like, falls out of your ass because you think he's going to have a redemption moment. And he
says that and you're like, well, there he is being Damey.
He's the Danish. He is Danish. No disrespect to our Danish listeners. He's Daney. So we see a knife come out and you think it's about to be over. And he does have the best redemption moment ever because instead of turning on Violet, he stabs Varish.
Thank God.
And it's awesome. It's probably, I think that's why this breaks into part one and part two, because it really almost could have ended right there.
It is the moment we needed. It's the moment I think a lot of us wanted, because we didn't want to believe that her childhood best friend could be this dense and this awful.
Right.
So it really gave the readers a moment of like, thank God. Like,
he never gave me evil vibes. He just gave me ick vibes.
We saw him being groomed.
Right, right.
To be this weapon.
And he just has he has his moment. And there's another student in there who had been brought in to torture her as well. She had some other signet that was important. And Dane turns around and he's about to tell her, get the fuck out of here before I kill you, right? He's going to give her the option.
Right.
And unfortunately, that option is taken from her when she is unalived by Shadow Daddy's Aiden, who has broken into the prison. Shocker, he's made it. And he launched a attack on another base to get everyone to leave the school so that he can come and save his girl. I still don't know why it's his girl, but it's his girl, Violet. And in he comes, and he's about to murder Dane, and Violet, broken on the bed, can't really walk. She's like, no, hold up. We gotta let him live. He just saved my life. And Zayden gives him the head to toe once over, like,
really? I'm stuck with this. I gotta do this.
But we gotta make these decisions on the fly, and that's my bitch. So, okay, fine. You can live, but you're coming with us. He finally tells Violet that he loves her in this exchange. And honestly, the real spoiler here is, for a brief moment, we think that all of their obnoxious fighting might end. Some people had hope for Dame's redemption arc. I had hope that Violet was going to stop being so annoying. Right. And in another twist, guess who else is in this fighting, in this battle in the dungeon, is Violet's mom.
Yes.
And she says, listen, child, step aside. I need to talk to my kid. And
she's broken on the bed.
Right. But I need a moment alone with her. And he's like, but I just confessed my love. And I'm like, you still have time to run, Zayden. You could never look back. Go now. So her mom tells her, listen, I did know about the venom. And the reason that you're in this predicament that you're in is that I knew if you went to be a scribe, you're so smart, you would have figured out that they rewrote history and censored the truth of what's going on. And for a second, in my brain, in my little noggin up here, I thought, oh, she didn't want her in danger of knowing that information.
No. She didn't want her being ratted out.
She didn't, right. She knew that if Violet figured it out, she would snitch.
Talk about Soaringale is the worst.
Yeah, she's not good. She doesn't...
She's the worst.
Yeah, she's not great. And then she also slips in here, and this is why I hate her the most. This is why I hate her the most, because we almost had an end to the inane bickering between Violet and Zayden, and then her mom just, real quick, slips in. And by the way, I made him protect you the whole first year you were here.
Yes.
Bitch, that couldn't have stayed inside your brain.
Bitch, what are we doing?
You've tried to kill your daughter 14 times. Correct. By your decisions, and you couldn't just let her have. You couldn't let her have. You couldn't let her think her love story was her own.
The love story is her own, but the not being killed is on Mama Soaringale.
And Zayden and Violet go back to school, and they tell everyone the truth, and they're like, "You gonna stay with these assholes, or are you gonna come with us and be part of the revolution?" And
revolution, baby.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's like a 50-50 split. Some kids fly off with them, some stay there.
And they even open it up, though, don't they? They even open it up to all the quadrants, like the scribes and
they
the
tell
infantry.
Everyone. Yeah. Yeah, they tell everyone.
They
this
tell
is what's
the entire
up.
School.
Right. And that's a wrap. That's the end of part one.
Thanks
for coming to my TED Talk. So next up, we're going to do part two.
We're going to do part two. Do we want to do characters on this, or we'll wait until the end of part two?
The problem with characters on this is there's not a lot of new characters.
Not a lot of new characters. I think we grow to really love Jesenia.
I already loved her.
No, I know, but like you really get to see her fully shine because the first
Correct.
One was really just an intro.
Yes.
Eric's new.
Oh, Eric's new.
Eric's
and he's the
new
best.
And we love him.
And Sloane is new and she's the best as well.
Yes.
I am an avid supporter of Eric and Sloane.
Yeah, yeah. I would say they're both like 8 out of 10s.
I really hope that they get a bigger part in this next
Onyx Storm.
In Onyx Storm because they're not part of the main side crew, and they should be the whole main side. Maybe not, but they should be a big part of the main side crew.
Yeah, they should be part of the inner circle.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Do you, since we talked about spiciness in Fourth Wing, should we rate spiciness of books? Should we add that to our outro?
Oh, how many hot peppers?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to, like, talk about the writing of the sex, and I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Okay. How many peppers?
Oh, I could do, yeah, I'll do peppers. I didn't know how to tell you no. I was trying to be like, that's
weird.
No,
yeah. No. Like the spice, like, all
right, so how many
peppers?
What's the pepper scale? 0 to 5?
It's 0 to 5. Zero.
How
to
many, what's the top, what's the most peppers?
0 to 5. I don't know. I said
we could do our own thing. We don't have, that's the
correct. Let's do spiciness 0 to 5. 5.
What are we going to use instead of peppers? It's a spicy.
Why can't we use peppers?
I feel like everyone else is using peppers.
I know, but I think that's a
it's fine.
I think it's okay. I think it should be 0 to 5. And the way that the chart that I saw is like 5 is the driving force of the book.
Okay.
And then it dwindles from there. And like 0 is no spicy scenes, maybe alluding to it, but no actual.
Okay, like a makeout sesh.
Mm-hmm. And then like increase 1 would be 1 or 2 maybe sex scenes and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's kind of what we're going to stick to.
Should we 1, 2, 3 say them at the same time and then see if we agree on each other's spice level?
Yes. You got a number in your head?
No, I need a minute. All right.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
So it's on 1 or after 1, countdown from 3.
Oh, I would count up 1, 2, 3, and then go after 3.
On 3 or after 3?
After 3.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
2.5.
1. Okay. 2.5, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they fucked twice, descriptively.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. At least. 2.5.
Okay.
I wouldn't let my kids read it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's also only the first half.
I think they're too busy in the second half. No, they have, yeah. Okay. Yep.
We'll do an overall Iron Flame spiciness
sure.
at the end of,
sure.
at the end of our next episode.
My house, my chair, my woman. Mm. Bless. Bless.
Yep.
Bless.
All right, okay. Any final thoughts?
No, I'm starving.
Comments. Okay, you're hungry, hangry. That's great. This is a great time to wrap it
up. This Diet Coke isn't cutting it anymore. I have to go. I'm wasting away. How can you even see me?
Can't stand you. All right, awesome. So everyone, thanks for tuning in. Check back with us next week when we finish this part two. It's gonna be exhilarating. It's gonna be something. That's for damn sure. All right, y'all. So peace out, homies.
Peace out, homies.